broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we do it every night. And we're not only on the radio, we're on our live streaming video cast as well, Phil TV and HD, which you can find at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you get that and more. Our archives, our daily podcasts, and so much more in the coming year, let me just tell you. What we have planned for 2012. Thank you for joining us. Also, if you're over the website, check out our shop. I realize that we have gotten everything for Christmas now has been mailed. So our deadline was midday on Tuesday. So we're on our way now into Thursday. So we can't guarantee any delivery for Christmas. But if you still want to get the odd Christmas present or a holiday gift, you can do it over at philhendryshow.com in our shop. Nice to be with you guys this evening. We'll have our news and information hour, the last hour of the show tonight. We're starting off this evening with a discussion. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center is going to be on the line with us and talk about the a pagan religious movement that has emerged and has become much more popular in the United States and around the world, at least in Europe, in recent years. What do we mean by pagan? Well, we're not talking about people that are hostile to Christianity. We're not talking about people that are hostile to anybody. We're trying to get a grip on a movement of people who have decided to go back to these pre-Christian religions. There were pagan religions in Ireland and Great Britain before the arrival of the Christians, as we all know. And in fact, that was true in every country on the globe. Many people are re-embracing Wicca. I'm sure you've heard that, which is the term we are told for witchcraft. It's actually the original term was Wicca. The message that is being sent by the people who are, as I say, re-embracing or embracing for the first time these pagan faiths is that they are very misunderstood. They're not hostile to any other established religion. They are very pro-life in the sense of life-supporting and very much akin to the messages of peace and societal harmony that many other religions preach. We have on the line with us Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center this evening, and I know that you sprained your back. Dean, I hope you're feeling better.
Oh, thank you, Phil. Yes, I am.
And that was, what were you doing?
We were doing some curing of some sod, and I did something I shouldn't have tried. I pulled a palm tree out of the ground, and we were going to transplant a palm tree. And they have a very, very large, it's a root ball, if you will. A palm tree is not, it doesn't have the kinds of roots that other trees have, but it does have it's a very heavy plant when you get it out of the ground.
Well, I hope you're feeling better and you're giving your back a little bit of rehabilitation, right?
Well, I've been a whirlpool here at the center, and we're trying to get some hot water in, but I think I'm going to be all right.
Dean, you are a self-described pagan. You're not a Wiccan. What's the difference?
Well, Wicca, Phil, is just one form, as you mentioned, of a pre-Christian religion. Wicca has its own ritual. It has its most of the differences, I would say, in many of the pre-Christian religions have to do with the kinds of simple rituals, because almost all were nature-worshipping religions. We had a period of human history where, before the arrival of the monotheistic faiths of Judaism and Christianity, we had sun worshiping was very common among the peoples of the world. And we find evidence of sun worship as far afield as from Asia all the way to North America. So these were just the different kinds of rituals. The pagan faith that I embrace, as does my wife, Esmeralda, and members of our community is more of a Celtic in origin. You were talking about the British Isles during your opening comments, and this would be, I think, a little bit more akin. There was in the early pagan faiths a fair amount of human sacrifice, which obviously we don't do anymore. That religion, you know, we've sort of grown up.
I was mentioning that the pagan faiths, there was human sacrifice. The Romans had human sacrifice. The Romans were very shocked by what they found on the British Isles when they eventually colonized Britain. They thought that the manner and the frequency of human sacrifice among the early British people was very shocking to them.
Well, I don't doubt that, but we have grown up as a race. By that I mean the human race, and we do not abide that kind of thing anymore. What we do believe, though, and we still believe, is that you do offer to nature and to those creative powers in the universe a gift of some kind, and we do simulate a human sacrifice. We don't actually kill a person. But the challenge for us and what is ahead of us on the Capitol Mall, when we go to Washington, and it's not too far off, Phil, because we are talking about the 25th of December, is we do not want we don't want our Christian friends to misunderstand what we're doing. We don't want to create any rift. We don't want them to, certainly we don't anger anyone.
Now, you're saying this because the simulated human sacrifice that you do is of an infant, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
And okay, and obviously on December 25th, the Christian faith pays homage to an infant Jesus.
Yes, that is correct. One of the things to understand, I think, Phil, about Christianity and how it spread early on is that it would borrow from pagan faiths different aspects, deities, different icons, if you will, and incorporate them. In the early pagan faiths of the British Isles and Ireland was a tradition of sacrificing, and it sounds very ghoulish to us today, and indeed it is. There was a tradition of sacrificing an infant, a newborn infant. That was taken by the Christians and turned around to say, no, you don't sacrifice the infant. The infant became the baby Jesus, and that we celebrate. That's what Christians do. But in returning to our pagan faith, we must return to the original intention of our pagan ancestors, and that was to sacrifice the innocence and the new life of an infant.
Now, you're not really sacrificing the baby, obviously. What you want to do this on the Capitol Mall on the 25th?
Yes, we want to demonstrate a winter solstice celebration of a sort that we have kind of improvised. And by that I mean we have looked at the idea of the infant Jesus, and we thought about the idea of fertility and the sacrificing of humans, and so we decided that we would simulate the sacrifice of an infant.
So this is not exactly something you're getting from ancient pagan faith?
It's a reading. It's a reading. We want to do something that is akin to what the Christians do. We want to get their attention, but we don't want to offend them. The last thing we want to do is offend anybody. So that's why what we're doing is doing these different shows and saying, by simulating the sacrifice of an infant, we're not making a negative comment about Jesus.
Well, tell me how this so-called simulated sacrifice of an infant in the pagan faith goes.
Well, it's very simple. The child is lifted above the high priest's head in much the way many other religious rituals take place, where a sacrifice or an offering is lifted above the priest's head. The child is then laid on an altar in front of the priest. There is a dagger, which is never, ever comes near the child, but the dagger is pointed down at the child, and then a downward thrust is simulated as if the dagger is going to sacrifice the child. Now, because this is taking place on December the 25th, we don't want Christians to feel that we're threatening the baby Jesus.
Well, why are you guys having it on December the 25th? That might be a good place to start, because that's the day of Christmas. That's the day where the Christ child, that's the birth of Jesus.
Absolutely, yes.
There's no other day in the Christian in the Christian calendar that celebrates the birth, the infancy of Jesus Christ, than Christmas. So when you pick that day to have this simulated sacrifice, even though I know you don't want to offend anybody, you see what I'm saying? Why that day?
Well, why that day? Because that was a day where we were going to get as much attention as we possibly could for our pagan beliefs, the doctrine, and so forth. And it also falls roughly around the time of the winter solstice, which is very sacred to us as pagans. And in fact, you could make the argument that Christmas usurps the winter solstice, that the winter solstice was there before Christmas. But more than anything else, we just simply want people to see that we exist, that this is our faith.
But you're doing it on the Christian holiday, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know.
Okay, and by doing it on the Christian holiday, you say it falls somewhere near the winter solstice, but you're doing it right on the Christian holiday, it may be seen by some as an affront.
No, that's exactly why we're on this program, to say, no, it isn't. We don't mean any harm. The simulation of the sacrifice of an infant is part of our religion. We have to do it.
But you don't have to do it on Christmas.
Well, in a way we do, because we are drawn to do it on Christmas so that people will pay attention to what we're doing for just one day. Throughout the year, there is very little that is written or reported about pagans, very little that is written or reported about Wicca. No one seems to be all that interested, and so for one day, we don't think it's too much to ask that we get some of the media attention on us as we perform this simulated sacrifice of daggering an infant and showing that as our religious. But we don't want people to be offended that we're killing Jesus or anything like that, and we want to be very clear.
All right, Dean Wheeler is on the line with us here, and a very interesting conversation about on December 25th, the pagan community that he's a member of will have a simulated sacrifice of an infant on the Capitol Mall in Washington, which is, they don't want it to be misunderstood as an offense against the birth of Jesus, but they need to do it on the 25th because that gets a lot of publicity for their pagan faith. What do you think of that? 877-876-PHIL. Now, he did make the point that, you know, a lot of things in Christianity are drawn from the early pagan religions, but this sacrificing of an infant, a dagger is held over the infant as if, you know, they're going to sacrifice it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Dean Wheeler in a moment from the Northern California Holistic Center.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and we're talking with Dean about the practice of a pagan faith, pagan religion, if you will, that he and others in his community are involved in. And on December the 25th, Dean, you're out there on the Capitol Mall in Washington performing a simulated pagan human sacrifice. It's simulated, I understand that. But it's happening right on Christmas.
Right. Well, and Phil, we tried to find a day.
Well, you've said that you guys are doing that because it gives you the publicity.
Well, I don't think I use the word publicity. I think what I'm really talking about here is just educational exposure for our faith. We tried to find another day. We're not... Believe me when I tell you, Phil, we don't mean any disrespect to the Christian faith, but we have to show people what it is that we do on the winter solstice, or as close to it as we can get.
But it's not the winter solstice. It's the 25th of December.
That is true. It's unfortunately, it is Christmas, but we need to use that day for the simulated sacrifice, because you understand, the infant Jesus is most likely borrowed from the idea of infant sacrifice.
But on Christmas Day, in other words, what we're going to be having here is we're going to have a high priest lifting this infant over his head.
Yes, there's an altar. There is a high priest who lifts the infant toward the sky, which is very, very traditional in pagan and Wiccan faiths, where an offering is made as... And also in Christian faith and in the Jewish faith, where something is lifted above the head, offered to nature or to the gods. The infant is then laid on the altar. There is a simulated daggering, and that is the downward thrust of the dagger toward the child. It never touches the child, never.
How far, when you say a downward thrust?
Well, it's you're stopping the dagger, you know, a few inches shy of the child's sternum. And then there is a back and forth motion with the dagger. And what that does is that symbolizes in the old days of the pagan faith, there was a fair amount of cannibalism, which obviously, you know, we don't practice that anymore. But that symbolizes the preparing of the sacrifice.
All right, so a lot of this is very ghoulish to me, you know.
Well, be careful now. You're talking about my religion. I understand, Phil. You know.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but a lot of it sounds ghoulish when you say the daggering and then you're going back and forth preparing and you're talking about cannibalism. I can't help but be revolted.
Again, I think I've been very respectful of the Judeo-Christian traditions that will take place during this season. And I would hope that you would respect my faith.
All right. I don't mean any disrespect, but don't you find that ghoulish?
Oh, I most certainly do not. It is the original ritualistic mannerism used by our ancestors. No, we do not sacrifice human beings, and no, we don't practice cannibalism. But we do respect what the elders have handed down to us.
And so, when you have I would simply say this: it's going to take place on the 25th of December. And you know that you're going to be, you have come on the show knowing that that's going to be
it's going to be a tough one, yeah.
It's going to be, it's the day, it's Christmas.
Right, but what we're doing by going ahead of, going out and doing these shows is we're saying to Christians, no offense is made, no offense is intended. We want to do our religion. We don't want to mock you. Please don't mock us. You know, I think that goes without saying. We respect you. We are going to ask for the same respect. We do dress in our ritual wear, which is generally a sort of a druid robe. There are a lot of hoods and a lot of things that I guess people would think are, not too traditionally Christian or what have you. But and then the infant, which is generally bound at the feet. And
all right, now, see, you're getting into some stuff here that
No, we're not sacrificing the infant.
No, I know, but you've bound the child at the feet?
Yes, absolutely, Phil. There's no harm. There's no pain. The baby is fine. We bind the infant at the feet and at the hands to show submission of the sacrifice to the pagan gods, to the earth and to the sky.
And so the baby's hands are tied and the feet are tied, the infant is laid on an altar, and then a simulated, what you call stabbing.
No, we call it a daggering. And again, you're just getting to know this, but I would ask you to please not say stabbing anymore, because that's technically, in our faith, that is technically a blasphemy. It would be the same as if I called Jesus a bad name. For instance, if you say stabbing, that is blasphemy. And in my faith, it's considered to be very rude. And I know you don't mean that, Phil.
All right, I apologize.
No, that's all right.
All right, it's called the daggering.
The daggering, yes.
All right, Dean Wheeler joining us. We'll get to your phone calls here after this break. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Dean Wheeler about the about the pagan ritual they're planning on the 25th at the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we're online as well, of course, at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can pick up your backstage pass, watch the live streaming video of the show this evening, as well as the live streaming audio of the show. And we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Line, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, Harvey Wireman, and we're talking with Harvey's an attorney at law. We're talking about Anthony Weiner and what's the worst possible thing that could happen, and again, the possibility that these pictures or any of them found their way into the Twitter account of an underage woman. Now, we don't have any evidence of that.
Yes, and if I could interrupt, Phil, I wish you would make that point.
I'm making the point now.
But you have not made that point in this hour, and I think people are having the impression that this man sent pictures, these pictures of himself to women, to children.
All I know is what he said, okay?
I know what he said.
Well, he said that maybe. He didn't say no. He didn't know.
Well, how are you supposed, we are missing the point here. This is a United States congressman. You were talking about if your daughter got a picture of his. Are you telling me you want this guy fired? I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Yes, I'd want him fired. I'd want him arrested.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you may think this is stupid. What if Abraham Lincoln sent a...
Oh, come on, Harvey.
No. If Abraham Lincoln, you're telling me that has no...
That's a ridiculous hypothetical... That, you know, if you gotta reach for an extreme like that...
That's not an extreme. I'm saying that in some instances, it's no longer a crime. You should be flattered that your daughter...
I'm going to be flattered that my daughter got a picture like that? You got to be crazy.
Well, then I go back to the question about Abraham Lincoln. Do you want Abraham Lincoln fired from the job that he had as President of the United States, who saved this country... If he sent a picture of it to your kid.
You're not even talking about the Abraham Lincoln that I know from history.
No, you got an idea that Abraham Lincoln was some kind of an altar boy. Didn't you tell me that Lincoln liked women?
You know what? Yes, he liked women. Yes, he liked women. And he was very familiar with women before he got married. As President of the United States, he was a faithful husband.
Well, I don't know that that's the case.
And for you to bring him up in this context, I think, really cheapens the... there's no point. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to Catherine in Tucson. Go ahead, Catherine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good morning.
In my opinion,
this man would defend a rapist because a woman happened to walk past him wearing a miniskirt, and he couldn't possibly restrain himself. Because a woman wore mini skirts.
No, ma'am. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm not talking about rape now. But what if Abraham Lincoln had you pinned on a car?
I'm not talking about rape. I'm saying you would defend a rapist because you are defending this no good Nick against this type of thing. Just because he was elected doesn't. Means absolutely nothing. He was elected to represent the people. He's distracting the people from the job that has to be done in this country at large. The man needs to go. Pure and simple. Republicans can get away with this. Democrats should not be able to.
He wouldn't answer my question. I ask you, if Abraham Lincoln pinned you down in an alley one night...
Wait a second! We're not going to be talking about that.
You're crazier than Anthony Weiner. I got to hang up.
Well, fine, you can hang up, but the question still stands. If that woman was walking down the street one night, Phil, and Lincoln jumped out from an alley and dragged her in against a garbage can...
Why in the hell would you talk like that?
Because we have to begin to discuss it. If you want Anthony Weiner out of his job, okay. All right, fine. I'll be the first guy to go to his office. I'll be the first guy to grab him by his lapels, and I won't show him the door. I'll open a window, and I'll say, Weiner, you see that? That's about three floors down. You see your car, don't you? And he'll say, yeah, I parked it near the front door because I knew I had to move some boxes today. I said, well, guess what?
You don't have to worry about moving boxes. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. I'm going to send you into your car right now. And I would lift him with what strength God still gives me. And
I understand. So you'd be the first guy to get rid of him.
Yes. Yes.
But it just so happens that we've got a problem now, you say. And the problem is Abraham Lincoln.
No, it's not Abraham Lincoln.
Well, your point is, I know what your point is. Your point is, how can we fire a man from a job like United States Congressman when we could very well be firing from the job someone who is brilliant, someone who's going to help the country, someone who's this and that?
That's exactly correct. And on top of that, even more to the point, I think any member of Congress, because of the job they have, which is essentially so pressure-packed that the fate of the free world rests on their shoulders.
All right, Harvey, I mean, you're giving a speech now.
Will you allow me? Mr. Henry, you invited me on your program.
But you're giving a speech now, and I don't think you're addressing the problem.
I'm addressing the problem very, very well. You don't want to hear the answer. And Mr. Henry, I'll tell you something else. I took time away from my dinner tonight so I could sit here and talk with you about this problem that you are... Hold on for a minute, will you?
What is that?
I'm making some soup. You got a problem with that? I took time away from my dinner tonight. I had nothing to eat. I had nothing to eat. I'm 81 years of age, and I had nothing to eat tonight.
I'm sorry.
And I took time out of my night, and usually I'm in bed. My daughter's here, and my son-in-law and my grandkids are here. Okay, and I've given up my bedroom to the grandkids. I gotta sleep on a sofa tonight. So you'll pardon me if I'm a little bit. It needs a little more time. You'll pardon me if I'm a little bit more. Hold on for a minute. Would you please heat that up somehow? Because if this microwave doesn't work. Yeah, that's fine. I'm in the kitchen right now, Phil, so here's what I'm saying.
All right, I understand what you're saying, that you took time out and you are entitled to be heard. I'm offended that you would talk about Abraham Lincoln.
Then I'm offended you're talking about Anthony Weiner.
Abraham Lincoln didn't send a picture of his genitals to anybody. Not that we know of. History has never recorded such an event. History has never recorded any kind of an event, any kind of an action by Abraham Lincoln that would compromise his morality, integrity, or the office of the president. There was never any hint of that with Abraham Lincoln. Not to say that there wasn't with other presidents, and I'm not talking about guys like Kennedy. Going back further, Harding, you know.
Oh, Harding. Harding was an animal. Harding was a walking, crawling animal. He had him going out the front door and...
All right, fine. I don't know and I don't care. But if we're talking about Anthony Weiner, that's who we're talking about. And to say that the President of the United, whether it to bring Abraham Lincoln, that's kind of almost like the Hitler. What are you doing, man?
I'm going to heat up this soup.
Okay, guys, we did go to tape very briefly there. We had a confluence of technical problems that hit us in the first half hour of the show. One of them was the phone system. Another was a problem that you guys can probably relate to. We had computers freezing up on us. So, as I said, this was a confluence of problems that... it happens. Dean Wheeler is hanging on the line with us. What we're going to do is we're going to go into our next commercial break. I apologize. We're going to come back with Dean, and we will continue our discussion with him. And perhaps if we have the time, and if our next guest, Bud...
get on a phone and see if they're okay.
Great. If our next guests are okay with that, we'll continue through another segment or so with Dean Wheeler. So, again, my apologies. It was a technical problem, which we have worked through now, and we'll be right back. From the El Pacifico, never a dull moment, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. All right. Feels like just kind of reboot the show here a little bit. On the line with me, Dean Wheeler. At least you're loosening your back up, huh, Dean?
I am, Phil. It feels a lot better than I imagine you're feeling right now. I have to
emphasized. You're having technical problems cannot be in your line of work, cannot be a pleasant thing.
Well, they happen, and, you know, we got to move past it. But we were talking about your planned pagan celebration on the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C., and I think for the benefit of people that are just joining us or have sort of lost track here, tell us what it is that you're thinking, what your community of what you call pre-Christian religious community, and these are pagan or Wiccan people, and there's more and more of them in the United States and around the world, as I understand it.
Oh, absolutely, Phil. There are people of, I can tell you that there are Wiccan sects and faiths in not only in Europe but in Asia and in parts of Africa. And of course, Africa is a nation that was colonized, or excuse me, a continent that was colonized by the Christian missionaries, but has retained much of its early pre-Christian religious practice. And the same can be said for India, which had the presence of the Buddhist missionaries very early on, as well as the Hindu, and yet they have returned to some of the whirling dervish early pre Muslim faith, or pre-Hindu faith. So this is happening all over the world. It's not just what we're doing.
All right. So on the 25th of December, you guys were on the Capitol Mall simulating human sacrifice.
That is correct. And the reason, Phil, that we're on your program and doing some of the other shows is because we want to make sure that we are not misunderstood by Christians, that we're not misunderstood by people who are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We want people to know that we are respectful of that, that we're not going to try to step on any toes. We're not looking to insult. We do want to have this this particular ritual on so-called Christmas because the most attention will be paid to it at that time. And
so when you do a sacrifice, or excuse me, a simulated sacrifice of an infant, you know that that has a particular meaning or would be seen in a particular way by Christians.
Unfortunately, yes. But that's why we're on the program, to say we don't mean any offense. We have to do it on the 25th because we know that people, especially the press, will pay attention. And we know that the daggering, the simulated daggering of the infant, will be seen by some as an affront to Jesus. But we're saying that's not the intent. The shock value, it helps.
Well, when you say the shock value helps, then obviously you are looking to offend.
No, sir. No, that is not the case at all.
Well, then what do you mean the shock value helps?
Well, when I say that the shock value helps, what I mean is on Christmas Day, if you are a Christian and you're going to church to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and you turn on the news and you see our celebration on the Capitol Mall with the simulated daggering of the infant, it might anger you. And
well, then, but it might also offend.
Right, but I'm letting people know, don't be offended. We're simply trying to get your attention by using the daggering of an infant. We're hopeful that people will see that as sort of a commentary on the Christ child, but not as an offensive one.
And boy, you know, you got me really confused now.
Well, how so?
Well, I mean, you're saying that you don't mean to be offensive, but when you have this infant laying on an altar and you're doing this simulated daggering, which, by the way, it's not just the bringing down of the dagger, it's also this backward and forward motion that sounds absolutely just atrocious.
No, because we're not doing anything to the child.
Well, no, you're not doing anything to the child, I understand that. Although you are binding the child's feet and hands.
Yes, as it is, it has been handed down that way.
When you say it's been handed down, so this is in some kind of written...
Yes, it's been handed down from the pre-Christian pagan ritual manuals that we've seen, or texts that we've seen, that the hands and the feet of the infant must be bound. So that's what we do, but we're not trying to offend anyone. By the same token, we do need to get some attention paid to us, and the best way to do that is to utilize this infant symbol in the human sacrifice form. hoping that people will see that and think of Jesus. But no, we're not harming Jesus.
If I watch that and I think of Jesus, I'm thinking of Jesus getting daggered.
Well, that's what our hope is.
So how can you say that's your hope? And
Phil, hold on, okay?
No, how can you say that's your hope and say you don't want to offend anybody?
Hold on. You're really getting a little... I think you're getting a little extreme in your emotional response here.
No, whoa, hold on for a minute. I'm not getting extreme.
Phil, hold on for a minute.
I'm not getting extreme. I'm asking.
All right, well, you're getting a little angry. What I wanted to say is this. Anger is what we're trying to keep out of the conversation. You are saying, and what we're saying, it's the same thing. We are simulating. We are not really sacrificing a human.
I understand that.
Hold on, Phil. We are simulating the sacrifice of a human. We are doing that by way of the daggering ritual. When people turn the TV on Christmas Day and they see the infant being the simulated sacrifice of an infant, we are very hopeful. And, you know, we've got our fingers crossed that the first thing they'll think of is that this is the Christ child being daggered. But we don't want people to be offended by that. And that's what you're missing.
And how is that possible?
Phil, please. The emotion that you're showing is not helping.
So I can assure you, Mr. Wheeler, I'm not...
Phil, please, just listen.
I'm not showing emotion.
Well, I think you are.
But the question I have is a good question. How?
Phil, please, okay? The rancor of your emotion is what I'm concerned with. And
I'm asking a very simple question here. I'm not, believe me,
Phil, I don't know what to tell you. I can't answer you or talk to you while you are in this emotional state. It's impossible. It's impossible to answer or talk to you while you're in this emotional state.
Okay, is this calm enough?
It's calm, but you're obviously very sarcastic. And
all right, I'm sorry if I sound sarcastic.
Well, you sound sarcastic, you sound impatient, you don't sound like you're going to give me a fair hearing. I think I explained it very well, and you're finding fault with it.
I'd like to ask one more question.
All right.
How is it that you are going to simulate the daggering of Jesus and hope that people are going to be shocked by it, but you don't think they'll be offended?
What you just said there doesn't make any sense, and I think it's because you brought so much emotion.
All right, let me restate it.
No, hold on for a minute. You're very emotional. Now let me say what I think you meant. When we do the daggering, the ritualistic daggering, you want to know how people are going to see that. We hope they see Jesus, but we don't want them to be offended.
Okay. How does that work?
How does what work?
How does it work that you're going to have this simulated sacrifice of a baby on an altar with a dagger? Not just the daggering going up and down, but then there's going to be a back and forth, like, you know.
No, I don't know. I'm trying to...
When you go back and forth like that, you said that they used to be cannibals.
Now, again, there's emotion creeping back into your voice.
All right. I guess I don't know how to ask this question, but I'll just ask it. How is it that you are going to tell people that you don't mean any offense, even though you hope they see the Christ child?
I think I've answered that. I think people understand. On the 25th, they're going to see an infant, a simulated sacrifice of an infant, the daggering, the back and forth, the binding of the feet and the hands. There's a ritualistic, it's called the capture. It's like a dream catcher, but it's a covering of the mouth of the infant. So the mouth of the infant is covered. And
so you have a gag on the...
No, I did not say gag. And I'm really offended by that.
All right, I apologize.
We cover the infant's mouth, we bind the feet, and we bind the hands. And then the infant is thus defenseless in this simulated sacrifice. Now, you may think that we want to kill Jesus. No, we don't. And we don't want to offend anyone. But we do hope that when people watch this, they will think, my God, they're going to kill Jesus.
Why wouldn't they be offended by that?
I think you're being a little emotional. And
okay, you know something? I'm going to...
You put him on holy party and he pissed off.
I don't care if he's pissed off. I'm getting pissed off. I've tried to be as calm as I possibly can with this man. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Dean Wheeler about the simulated sacrifice of an infant on Christmas Day on the Capitol Mall with the hands and the feet bound of that infant and a gag and the daggering. And you're supposed to see Jesus as the dagger comes down, but they don't want you to be offended. I don't know how that works. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we thank you for joining us. I guess the bad news of the technical problems we had in the first 30 minutes of our show was that we had technical problems. The good news is we've been able to keep Dean Wheeler on the line with us here, who is in Northern California, the Northern California Holistic Center. And we're talking about the pagan, as you call them, Dean, pre-Christian faiths, and your pagan community that will have a some kind of a celebration, right?
Well, I don't know that we call them celebrations, Phil. I think we call them what we call them are our rituals. We call them offerings. We call them gatherings. I don't know that celebration is, although there is, it is a very joyful religious belief to be pagan. But it will be a gathering and an offering. That we are going to have on the Capitol Mall on the 25th. Hopefully it's going to get people excited about the idea of the pagan faith, not as some early barbaric belief system, but very vital and very real and very much to be taken seriously and to be applied in modern life. We are not anti-Christian. We are not anti-Judaism. We are not opposed to any religion. We believe in coexisting with all religions peacefully and not to offend other religions.
And yet you are going to have this baby, the simulated sacrifice of an infant, the daggering, as you call it, with the infant's hands bound, and this is a symbolic of the Christ child.
No, and not in my faith, it's not. It's symbolic of the sacrifice of life and innocent life. But it has been used by the early Christians to apply to create the Jesus symbol. So yes, we want people to think, you know, oh my God, what are they doing? They're going to drive a dagger right into the chest, right through the chest plate of Jesus.
But you don't want them to be offended.
No, because we want them to understand what our religion is about.
But you want them to say, oh my God, this is what I'm having a hard time with, and this is why I don't really understand what you're saying when you say you don't want to offend any Christians. You want to make sure, you know, everybody is...
Well, we do, Phil. We're not interested in offending people.
Okay, that's fine. But then you say you want people to look and say, oh, my God, they're driving a dagger into Jesus.
Yes, because that's the way that we get the press, the attention, the press attention, and the media attention to our cause and to our religion, to the different functions that we're going to be having.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, so let's go to some phone calls here. We have on the line Steve. Steve, you're on with Dean Wheeler here on the Phil Hendry Show about this pagan December 25th celebration. Go ahead, sir.
It's not a celebration.
A gathering.
Hey, Phil, thanks for letting me on your show. I'm a first-time listener, and I have to tell you, Dean, you know, I'm not really a Christian person, and I'm basically an atheist, but I'm going to tell you now, you know, holding a dagger and having an infant below a dagger, I mean, what if that was your child below that dagger and it was bound and tied? Yeah, I'm going to take offense to it. even though I don't believe it. That is very offensive.
No, sir. The child is never, ever harmed. The child, the dagger, it's a symbol of early pagan sacrifice. Obviously, we don't believe in.
Okay, so obviously, you know, that's like saying, you know, that's like taking a gun into a bank, holding it at a banker and saying, you know, I'm not here to rob you, I'm just holding the gun. You still don't get in trouble for doing it.
No, that's nonsense, because we tell people, oh, I don't think anybody, if you have a gun in a bank, I understand what you're saying. I would be very frightened as well, because we've had experience with people robbing banks. But we've never in modern history ever countenance the sacrificing of a baby. I don't think anyone will be watching TV on Christmas Day thinking we're actually going to drive a dagger.
How would they know? Look at the insanity that is afoot in society. Look at the horrible things that are done to children, that are done to people. How would they know?
On television, we're wearing druid robes.
You got children out there that are being molested by adults. You got teenagers.
True.
You know, you got teenagers shooting other kids. I mean, come on, how is that not offensive?
I'm not saying that those are very offensive acts. What you just said there, Steve. But what I'm saying is the simulated sacrifice of a baby has nothing to do with what you just said.
No, but I'm saying, what are people going to think that, you know, when Steve said, if you bring a gun into a bank,
right?
People are afraid, oh, my God, that guy's got a gun. And then he says, oh, I'm just kidding, or I'm just simulating a bank robbery.
Well, that's against the law. We're talking about a religious ritual where no one in their right mind is going to think we're going to gut and eat a baby. That's ridiculous. And
how many people are going to understand that it's just a religious...
Right.
Simulation.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
People because they're going to see
what's being going on today's society.
That's the point we're making here, Dean. Not that you're going to do it. Of course you wouldn't do it. But the people may be frightened because we live in a world that is filled with these ghoulish things.
We are going to be wearing our druid robes. We're going to be wearing our high council robes. I don't know what the gentleman is referring to. I can assure you we are going to be in front of the American people in the High Council druid wear. And
all right, so you're going to be wearing robes. I mean, that's going to look even spookier.
Oh, come on. Well, this isn't Rosemary's Baby. What are you two guys,
High Council robes, are you guys trying to portray that you're bigger and better than everybody else because you're wearing some kind of robe and you're able to hold a dagger above a baby?
It is our religion. Yes, we're saying that we are of the High Council. In our religion, I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm saying if you were a druid or if you were a pagan. No, I'm not. No, it's not. I would say if you were a druid or a pagan, I was better than you. But you're not. You're an atheist. You're not in my religion.
All right, but the point is that you're going to have some robe on or some kind of garment that is going to signify some authority. Is that correct?
To other pagans, yes.
All right, so you have this authority wearing this kind of garment, and I know I'm Catholic, so priests wear garments, I understand that.
Okay, so why don't you talk to the priests about how they're eating Jesus' flesh? Yeah.
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
You're telling me.
Yeah, but you know what? Dean, I got news. Dean, I'm going to tell you now. You know what? In a Catholic church, okay, I was born and raised and baptized Catholic, okay? But in a Catholic church...
Eating Jesus.
Okay?
Eating Jesus.
If anybody reads the Bible... Okay? It says that you're supposed to eat the bread of Christ.
Oh, my God.
That's not eating his bread.
Oh, my God.
That's eating the bread of Christ.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. Dean, you know that that's in the religious... You're not actually eating Jesus. You're eating bread.
Well, I'm told that Catholics believe they're eating the flesh of Jesus. And if that isn't the most sickening thing, I'm not doing anything to that infant other than simulating that we're going to open it up. And
oh, God, I fear for people that are turning their TV on in the morning, on Christmas morning, and seeing that. Thank you very much, Steve, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. You understand what I'm saying, right?
No, I don't understand what you're saying. What I do understand that you're doing is you're creating an image in the minds of people listening to your program, and you are wanting people to see something that is not going to be there. We're not going to harm a child. We're not going to do anything in the least. And yet you want people to see that. And
no, I don't. I know what people are going to see. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, really? What are they going to see?
They're going to see a guy in a druid robe with a dagger over a baby.
And when you said that, I could almost hear you laughing. I could hear the laughter.
I wasn't laughing. I wasn't laughing at all. I'm shocked at what they're going to think when they see that on Christmas morning. And you're hoping they're going to see Jesus.
We do not mean to offend people, but yes.
You want them to see a druid priest ready to drive a dagger into Jesus.
Into the infant offering. Into the infant offering to the natural Godhead, which is what Jesus is.
Well, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I have no idea, and I would not even go. I'm not going to go there with whatever the religious implications are. I understand that the pagan faith makes the claim, and rightfully so, that Christianity co-opted a lot of pagan symbols to help sell Christianity to the native people that they were trying to convert. So I get that. But the idea of Jesus was originally an infant with his hands bound and he was getting daggered, I doubt. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more of your phone calls here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center on the December 25th, Christmas Day, pagan ritual that they are proposing to enact on the Capitol Mall in Washington. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And no one does anything like that.
What is that?
If you...
We're back here. I'm sorry. Just hold the line here for a second, Dean. We're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and we're talking with him about the pagan community that he's a member of. It is a community of people in Northern California, and you're in the rehabilitating a sore back, so I can hear that water, Dean.
If you want me to turn it down, Phil, or I mean turn it off...
No, no, it's fine. I'm just letting people know that's why we're here in that water, because you've...
I did. I sprained, what I'm told is now I sprained my lower back, so...
Okay. Now, you are going to be in the Capitol Mall on the 25th of December with a simulated sacrifice of an infant child as part of the pagan community that you belong to, and that is all well and good. There's freedom of religion in America. You're not hurting anybody. But you just said something to me during the break that I think people should hear. I've never seen this. I'm on Facebook.
Yeah, well, Facebook has something called Farmville. And while you and your callers have been taking exception to our simulation of a religious rite, I have to bring your attention to Farmville, which people are on Facebook playing all the time. And I've been told that there on Farmville there is the slaughtering of animals. The slaughtering of hogs and so forth. Horrible things that millions of people around the world do on Facebook to get some kind of a kick. So when we simulate human sacrifice in our religious rites, it's for a very specific purpose, Phil. It's for the further creative energy of the universe to continue, the further creative energy of nature to continue. That's what that means. What is the meaning of people, housewives, divorced women, going on Facebook and because there's nothing left in their life, murdering animals for laughs?
I don't know anything about it.
Well, I think you should get familiar with it, sir. You're on Facebook, right?
I'm on Facebook, and I've had people ask, do you want to play Farmville? And I couldn't care less, no.
Well, I think you should get yourself familiar with it. Because
you're telling me that on Farmville they can slaughter animals.
I am telling you, yes, that they slaughter animals, that there is a kind of a butchering process. It's all about owning a farm. And
no, I know that, but you're telling me they're butchering animals.
They're butchering hogs. They're making sausage. And so that's what I have been told. I don't do that because I've got a little bit more. I like to think I have a little more self-respect. And a little bit more of a life.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me go to Dustin. Dustin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Phil.
Yes.
I've been trying, I tuned in recently, and I've been trying to basically get a proper understanding of both sides here of what might be some confusion. Essentially, you, sir, you're wanting to, or with your religious faith, to simulate a sacrifice of the Christ child, as he said. Is that correct?
That is correct. Well, I simulate the sacrificing of innocence, the sacrificing of new and innocent life for the fueling of the creative energy of nature.
And I understand that to the best of my ability, and I find that to be, you know, basically...
Yeah, that's great.
Come up with words for it. Basically, it's interesting, you know. But
it's difficult to come up with words for it. It's interesting.
It is. It is. Yes.
Okay. That's not a very difficult word, though.
All right.
Okay. So, and now that we know that it's interesting, what else did you want to say? Anything?
What you're saying is you support it, right? Do you support my right to bind that child's feet? Because Mr. Henry is...
Well, I find that to be a little bit abusive, yeah.
If I may, hang on. If I may, it's not that
abusive.
I support your right... Hang on. It's not that
abusive.
I support your right to bind this child. I support your right to your religious faith, your following, your beliefs and such, which is right. However, I understand you're trying to achieve some of these goals through the sheer shock value of, as you said, you know,
that's
finding
it.
This child's feet, legs, and with the dagger, not actually going to harm it, but you know, with the simulation. However, I do have a question for you. Are you familiar with the word association?
Am I familiar with the word what?
Association.
No.
Basically,
you're not familiar with the. You're not familiar with the word association.
Not the way he's going to use it, no.
Well, hang on. Don't jump to conclusions or anything.
Well, you're using it in a weird way.
I haven't even used it.
I know the word association, National Basketball Association. Is that what you mean?
Well, I don't exactly mean it in that way, but the way I'm meaning... excuse me, sir. If I may... I find that offensive, personally.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Yes, sir. I sprained my back today. I was lifting some very heavy plants. I'm trying to get
Yeah, I know, but we're hearing the splashing.
I apologize.
I understand. My heart goes out to you. However, you were earlier complaining that you felt you weren't being given a proper hearing. And
but
that
I wasn't.
Earlier comment, I feel like I'm not being given a proper hearing as well.
What did I say? I'm simply saying that I sprained my back, and I need to be in this tub.
That's fine. You're in the tub. You're making a lot of noise.
No, I was. Regardless,
what's that?
The association. What I'm referring to here is.
Now, are you still the same gentleman that I was just talking? Is he the same? Is this the same guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Let the man finish, will you? Go ahead, sir.
Anyways, you were saying that you didn't want to offend anyone. You didn't want to offend the public with this sort of question.
I need the plunger.
However, even though your intention is not to offend, it is difficult for some people not to be offended by said act, even if they know that no one is going to be harmed because of association. Because many of the people...
Okay.
I need different things that are similar. Not exactly.
Don't use that toilet.
Are you listening to this gentleman?
I'm sorry?
Are you listening to the gentleman?
I'll tell you what happened. We've got a stopped-up toilet, and my wife was going to come in and use it. And
well, you're in the tub.
That's right, Mr. Henry. We don't have any hang-ups that way.
All right, I understand.
But I told her
that.
it stopped up because of... Now I think you're mocking my family, sir, when you say that.
I'm not mocking anything, sir.
Yeah, when you say that my heart goes up, don't use the toilet.
No, I'm very sincere.
I'm very sincere.
Unfortunately, we've got to move on, and I appreciate very much, Dustin. You're very patient. You're a good man. Thank you for hanging on, but we do have to move on. But I think the gentleman put some very good ideas out there.
Yeah, whatever you say. I'm in the middle of a whole other crisis, okay? I don't know what he said. All I know is you can't use...
What is going on?
I've got a backed-up toilet. My wife insists on sitting on it. What are you doing? I know you have to go. It's already stopped up by from what I did. Now you want to double it up? Okay, it's your party. But I can take... Can I... Hold on, Phil.
No, we have to take a break.
Hold on. I'm not getting out of this tub to plunge it again. Have at it. Have at it. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Okay, I'm not sure what's happening in your home.
Well, what's happening in my home, Phil, is that I have a sprained back. My wife is insisting on using a toilet that's already stopped up. She doesn't seem to care. I said, the plunger's all yours. She said, fine. Okay. So it's solved.
That's very great
Very great?
That's very good to hear, but I think it's completely unnecessary, and and you did not listen to that last caller, and I found that to be very rude while you were screwing around in the tub with your plunger and everything else. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back with more from Dean Wheeler on this pagan ritual scheduled for the 25th on the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That was unnecessary, though. I heard that.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. You are, along with other members of your pagan community in Northern California, traveling to Washington to have this pagan ritual where the infant's hands are bound, the infant's feet are bound, the infant is then laid on an altar and a simulated daggering by who?
By the high priest, by the member, an elder of the high council, who is one of our senior druids.
Are you a druid?
Yes, I am, Phil. And I that is not a topic for joking. I can hear the way you're asking that. Are you a druid?
I'm sincere when I ask. Is that what you're? What are you? Are you a cleric in this faith?
Well, we don't have clerics per se. We have priests, druids. I am one of the druids, yes. I am one of the High Council members. The other elder will do the actual simulation. I will not. I will assist. And what I do is I simply hold the simulated, it's a symbolic bowl, because you have to understand, Phil, when this was done in reality, you had to hold a bowl to drain the blood.
Oh, man.
No. Hold on, Phil. You drained the blood, which became then a kind of fertilizer, if you will, or a seeding.
They've murdered an infant.
Oh, aren't you? You are judging pre-Christian people, calling them murderers. They were not. They were a deeply, deeply religious people.
Draining the blood from an infant, using it as fertilizer.
If there's one thing that drives me nuts, it's somebody who lives in the modern age judging those of us who were antediluvian, or pre-diluvian, I should say, not antediluvian, but pre-diluvian. We were pre-diluvian.
Okay, you mean pre-flood?
Yeah.
Well, I'm asking on behalf of my audience that may not know.
Pre-flood.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to go to another phone call here. We have Mark. Mark, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Fine, Phil. Thanks for receiving my call.
Yes, sir.
Dean, I appreciate your comments. You know, I've
learned
that...
Didn't I already just talk to you?
No, sir, you sure haven't.
I apologize. I apologize.
That's perfectly all right. I try not to judge, you know.
I am a druid, though, so that is a little bit different.
Okay.
that's fine. You know, I, you know myself, you know, the binding of the feet, the binding of the hands, taking of the mouth, the simulation of the dagger. And then on December 25th, and the key word that I heard was, so you can get the attention of the people towards your religion.
Well,
that was the key word.
I don't think I said that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. You said attention.
You did.
I'm back on the tape. You said attention.
Well, no, I think you misheard that.
No, you did. You said you wanted to get the media attention. That's why you chose the 25th.
Am I talking to the caller or you, Phil? I believe it's the caller, and I'm asking him. Are you sure you didn't mishear me?
No, sir. I heard exactly what you said. The media attention to bring...
I would never say anything like that.
You bring more attention to your religion, which is fine. But
do you play Farmville? Do you play Farmville? Are you on Facebook?
Sir, I don't even have.
Let's not get into the Farmville thing.
A computer, sir.
All right.
You know, in my faith, the only one thing is, everything that I do, I will be accountable for, and I will have to face my God. Not your God. One day.
You won't have to. You'll be facing the Godhead.
And if I can face him.
Yes.
Eye to eye.
You will face the Godhead, and the Godhead will then either, the Godhead will either reverse or remove. God is like a mathematic principle. Do you pray to the principle of mathematics, or do you apply it?
You apply it.
No, I'm asking you. Do you apply the principle of mathematics, or do you pray to it? I think the answer is you apply it.
I do not bring mathematics into my prayer.
Okay, you're really, this guy's
God,
he's in trouble, isn't he?
All right, I'll answer your question. I apply the principle of mathematics.
Right. That's how we should treat God. Apply God.
All right, anyway, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL on the line here.
What do you mean, anyway? When you say that, it sounds almost as if I am lint in a dryer. And the reason why I say that, Phil, is because this. If I make a statement like that, and it's very, very profound, it's something, by the way, that comes from, oh, God, that feels good. You know, my wife just turned on the, did you flush the toilet? Are you putting me on? Phil, I may have to leave the air early.
Okay,
what's wrong?
Nothing. I'm waiting for you to say what you want to say so I can get to another call.
Oh, I was going to say that my back hurt and my wife just ran some more hot water, and I appreciate that. But what I don't appreciate is the fact that she's used the toilet after I used it, and I couldn't unplug it. Oh, God. Are you kidding? Oh, my God. Well, at least close the lid. All right.
Can I say something?
Well, that's all you've been doing all night long. Every time I try to make a point.
No, I think I've been very respectful of you, sir. I've never heard of a family, and maybe you're in the tub and your wife comes in to use the toilet.
Yeah, we're married. Oh, I get it. We're not supposed to see each other naked. That's the problem with Christianity.
No, it's got nothing to do with that. It's just the lack of privacy when it comes to certain things. Let me go to another phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. On the line is, I believe, Richard, is it?
It is. Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Long time listener.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm just absolutely floored that he would do something on a day that's so important to my family and so many Americans. I mean, I know he wants to bring attention to his religion, but it's such a twisted way to do it.
No, we're not doing anything twisted.
Why do that? I mean, what about if we burned witches or simulated burning witches?
Then you're actually killing a human being. That's against the law. We're not killing a baby.
What are you simulating?
We're simulating the sacrificing of innocent life by binding the feet and gagging the infant. We're simulating the bleeding out.
And that's not offensive, huh?
That's very offensive.
Wait a minute, wait. You just said something about what's against the law?
I said, is that not against the law?
No, it's not. To simulate it? No.
Well, you just said it was if I simulated burning witches, that that's against the law.
I didn't say it was against the law. I didn't. No, you said you wanted to burn witches.
No, I didn't say that. I said.
All right, you guys. Okay, guys. You're okay. Okay, great. It's a very boring conversation you're having. Thanks for calling 877-876 Phil.
Well, he's the one that called.
No, I know, but you're making it very difficult, I think, for a lot of people to get their point across. Here is Jules. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jules, go ahead. Whoever, Julie, who is on the line here? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Hello? It's Julio. I'm sorry. Julio, go ahead.
Julio. Yes, sir. Yeah. I just wanted to comment on that. Baby man. Allowing the.
I'm the baby man.
Huh?
Yes, I'm the baby man.
A baby man? What are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to know who's allowing their child to be involved in this, man. I mean,
there's no children involved other than the simulated infant. The infant that's simulated. We pretend like we're going to gut and bleed out an infant, but we don't.
Is it a real child, though?
Yes, it's a real child, but we're not going to hurt it. We pretend like we're going to.
Gee, that's great. And I'm going to watch this on Christmas Day, huh?
I'm not trying to offend you.
I've got children, man, and I'll tell you something. I would never allow them to participate in anything like that, even if it was related to my religion, man.
Well, how old are they? They're probably too old. We only use infants.
Oh, sir, I got a 1-year-old, I got a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Too old. Way too old. We need a fresh infant.
There's no place for kids.
Pink and fresh.
What about children? I want to ask this: are children in attendance?
Well, naturally, we have what we call our counselors in training. We have pre-druids.
Pre-druids. What are those?
Those are our children. They're pre-druids, or they are in many cases they are developing druid. But we don't allow them to partake in the sacrificing, if that's what you mean. You are not allowed to simulate the daggering of an infant until you reach the ceremonial age of 13. And it's only the men that are allowed to do it. So as you can see, sir, we would never involve small children, I think is what you were asking about. It must be a male, at least the age of 13.
Any child having anything to do with killing of another person?
No, he's not killing. They're not killing anybody.
I mean,
they're not killing anyone.
You're simulating, man. I mean, just
we're pretending it. Yeah, we're pretending. We're pretending to gut.
When my kids watch something like that on TV, man, they get terrorized. They can't even go to sleep at night. And you're having the children watch this live, and a baby participate in the act. And then
you understand, sir, we're not actually.
You told that third guy right now that simulating a bank robbery is against the law. I don't know what country you live in, man, but simulating killing any person, whether it be a child, whether it be for...
What? I think I lost the gentleman's call, Phil.
Well, I think I can encapsulate what he was saying, if you heard him. He's saying simulating the killing of a human being. I don't know whether that's... It's illegal. Are you there, Julio?
No, it's not. If I say, this is an infant, I'm not going to hurt the infant, watch, and the knife stops, you're telling me I'm getting arrested for that? Now, the pre-druid is who I was talking about.
What do you mean pre-druid? What is that?
That's the 14-year-old boy that's druid in training. And they must be 14 before they are allowed fashion their own dagger. They're allowed to fashion their own dagger out of flint. They can also use bronze because we want to use the materials that were available to our ancestors. So the pre-druid goes into the hills and stays there for a period of a month. During that time, he must fashion his own dagger and shield. Now, it's a small shield. It covers the genitals. And
okay, this is an asinine exercise, if you ask me.
Oh, boy, you just offended my religion. Did I offend yours?
No, but on Christmas Day, you say you're going to hope to get some ink. You want some press. You want people out there to see you daggering this baby. You know?
We're not daggering the baby. You know what, Emeralda, they put some more hot water in here because this guy's driving me nuts.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Turn him off, will you?
No.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil. They go into the hills and fashion a dagger and a shield.
That's a pre-druid.
If you're pre-druid, yeah. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a couple of more minutes with Dean Wheeler, and we thank you, Dean. We had so many technical problems at the beginning of the program that we're very grateful you were able to stay on the line with us.
Well, and I'm very grateful I was too, Phil. It's been a very tough day. I'm in a considerable amount of pain given the injury that I suffered today, and coming on your program and being able to talk about our pagan faith is important. I have to tell you, I think I've not been treated fairly entirely by some of your callers. Some people thinking that we are actually harming an infant, we would never do that. And yet, many of these people that I've been talking to, I'm going to make an educated guess, and I don't mean any offense by this, but I truly believe that many of the people I've been speaking with tonight have Facebook accounts and probably play Farmville. So,
yeah. Well, all right, but you have to explain. You have to explain the significance of that.
Well, the significance is that Farmville, from what I understand, allows for the living slaughter of animals, and I cannot abide that.
All right, and you don't know that, though.
Well, yes, I do. I've been the individual told me that I trust them very much. And I won't tell you who it was, but I trust them even though they left a present in the you-know-what tonight that I have to close the lid on.
And so your wife told you that?
I didn't want to say her name, but the point is, I trust the information.
All right, well, I can tell you that I better not say it, you know.
Yeah, I would not say it if I were you, Phil, because I would consider that offensive.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Drew. Drew, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dean Wheeler. My name is Drew.
Yes, hello.
I was raised.
Hi, Drew.
Could you do me a favor and be quiet for just a moment?
Ma'am.
We've heard your plight.
I just said hello.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
I was raised in the pagan religion. By the way, I'm disabled too. I guess I'm going out of my way to call and talk to you on the telephone. But I was raised in the
Turn the water off.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, why should he do that and start being considerate now? Anyway, for you to compare your religion to a game that's on Facebook is a joke to me. I take my faith and my religion very, very seriously. And within the pagan beliefs, everything is peaceful. It has nothing to do with sacrificial or blood sacrifices. Sacrifices of the blood are completely forbidden. And so I don't know where you get your information from.
We're not sacrificing.
Don't interrupt me. I am not done. I do not believe at all that you would even try to make a statement. I have been trying forever to have people down here in the Bible Belt in Alabama to understand the pagan religion, and you just set us back 40 centuries. I do not even understand how you could even come with this.
I never said that we actually harm anyone.
No, it does not matter if you're harming anyone. You have the intent there. You're letting people know that somewhere in the back of your mind that this used to happen a long time ago. So you're reenacting a tradition?
No, wait a minute. Don't tell me that it didn't. You know full well that pagan faith, the pagan ritual included human sacrifice pre-Christian. This is a fact. You can't say that it didn't exist.
It is not a fact.
Oh my God!
Tell me your reference material. Can you give me? Cite your
reference. Yes, I can. First of all, I will give you the actual testimonial of Roman soldiers who witnessed druids involved with human sacrifice.
Roman
is that okay?
Soldiers?
Is that
Roman soldiers? Are they the ones that used to have orgies and parties in their back ranks?
I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm telling you that when the soldiers went to Britain and they were stationed there, they witnessed this and wrote home about it, human sacrifice.
Of course.
Yeah, okay,
did.
Now hold on. I want to say something. I want to say, hold on. How do you know that those were...
Before the Gregorian calendar came out, Romans were trying to push the Christian religion so far that they wanted everyone to believe in Christianity.
You're missing the point, Drew. Drew, hold on. You're missing his point, although I agree with you. His point is this. The Romans are not perfect. We know that. But they, when they went to Britain, witnessed the Druid and the Celtic religious rituals of the day that did include human sacrifice. Now, we know the Romans had their own human sacrifice. Now, what I'm going to ask, though, here's what I'm asking. Here's what I'm asking. How do you know, Dean, that what the Romans witnessed wasn't some aberrant behavior, some particular strain of paganism that was looked down upon by the other people?
Exactly. What? It's a rogue thing. Plus, Drew,
well,
no,
they said they saw it everywhere. Heads coming off left and right.
I myself am not Druid, so I can tell you right now, I'm very proud that I am, of course, after listening to you. I am pagan and Wiccan, but I am not a Druid.
And well, Wiccans are lightweight. Druids get it done.
What does that mean, Druids get it done?
Well,
you couldn't even possibly handle a conversation because you're hurting too bad. What are you getting done?
I'm having my back massaged by a woman, my wife, who is a beautiful woman, but saw no problem in defecating into a toilet that was a... Oh, God.
I think you used the wrong word there, Dean.
What are you talking about, Dean?
You know what I'm talking about. And I would simply say to the lady
My wife,
we've got a plugged-up toilet, and she went ahead and used it anyway, and now the bathroom is...
Okay, I don't need to hear about that. What I'm talking about here and what this lady called up to talk about is what seem to be beliefs that you have that you identify as pagan, which may not be.
Boy, that takes a pair.
It is not pagan.
I'm Druid, okay?
Tell me the name of your book, your source, and where you have learned this information.
I'd like you to know that I have Druid robes with a hood. Do you? No.
I have pagan robes.
You have a hood.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to our show on this now Thursday morning, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's Thursday morning here at the El Pacifico. It's been Thursday morning, I suspect, most of the places where we are heard across the country. But here we are a few minutes after midnight on the West Coast, and we're with you every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're very happy to have you with us. We do suggest that if you want to get the full Phil Hendry experience, watching us on our video cast is something. You can watch me turn into a complete animal when things go wrong. You can watch me act like a complete ass, and it's always exciting. We call it a reality show that's wrapped around a radio show. Phil TV and HD at philhendryshow.com. It's quite the experience for you. It's quite embarrassing for me.
You don't care, though.
Yes, I do care.
You care? You act like an ass?
Yes, I care. I feel bad about it for, you know, a few minutes. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we have some news to get to. This is a story that I meant to mention yesterday. It's local to California, but it's universal. The Secret Service is investigating a former local city council candidate accused of making threats against President Obama. Now, this is not just a story about dumb, folks. This is a story about modern dumb. This is a story about, we've got dumb, and we've had dumb for years. Only an idiot would openly threaten the President of the United States because it's a federal offense. It's a federal offense. But a real world-class idiot, a guy who is a whole new level of idiot, a new species of idiot, would do it on Facebook. And that's what we have today in the modern world. And I'm telling you, I said to Dan, I love Facebook for one reason and one reason only, man. It's a dumbass catcher. It's like a dumbass screen, man. It's like a lint screen for idiots. Some of the stupidest people in the world go on Facebook openly and publicly and make comments that you've seen it. You've seen the stories. I don't need to recount it. Here's a guy that is a former candidate for city council in this little town in Southern California, but he goes on Facebook, and this guy, I don't know where he was raised, obviously not by human beings. He is a 48-year-old man by the name of Jules Manson. He was a 2011 Carson City Council candidate. He threatened the president on his Facebook page when he wrote, "Assassinate the effing N-word and his monkey children." Manson made the comment Sunday on a post about the president signing the National Defense Authorization Act, a federal law enacted for each of the past 48 years to specify the budget of the U.S. Department of Defense. Manson believes the law removes the constitutional right of citizens in the name of fighting terrorism. Well, everything does now, doesn't it? Everything that we sign into law now is stripping away our rights, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to believe? You know, in order to make me believe something, I don't consider myself to be the brightest guy in the world, but people are going to have to come with something a little bit brighter than the crap that I see. People are telling me that this is unconstitutional, that that's stripping away our rights, that this is stripping away our rights, that everything has just been stripped away, that we have no rights now, we have never had any rights, and I'm sorry, I'm not convinced, and I haven't been convinced, and it's going to take a hell of a lot more than even somebody on the Huffington Post, which is light in terms of intelligence, is light years past Jules Manson of Carson, California. Even those idiots haven't made any case that's even remotely convincing. And of course, now they have the double whammy because back in the day when Bush was president, they had to, they were just delighting in the fact that our constitutional rights were being stripped away. They could report on it and make Bush look like a jackball.
Not now that they're Obama fans.
And now they're Obama fans, and so it's a little tougher to, come on the blog there. Anyway.
Yeah, well, whatever, man. Tell me about this guy.
All right, I'm sorry.
You're getting off half-cocked on what's a... Tell me about the guy that's got Jules Manson.
All right, but Jules Manson anyway. What do you mean, whatever?
Whatever.
Anyway, Manson made the comment Sonny in a post about the president, blah, blah, blah. His comment about Obama was reposted on several blogs, quickly sparking outrage. Manson's now apologizing for the posting, saying he has no intention of harming Obama or his family. No, not at all. I believe him. But I do. I honestly believe him. I think that these people, either they don't know how Facebook works, or they don't quite get the reach that Facebook has, but if you go on Facebook and you make a comment like that, if you go on a news feed on Facebook, you make a comment like that, or Twitter, you are potentially being seen by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people.
Not if you only got 400 friends or something.
Well, no, because you have a chance, you have an option. You could be...
You got the option. You could say friend or public. What?
There's an option thing now, man. It says, do you want this to be seen by your friends, or do you want it to be seen by the public? Okay. I mean, I could go over, if I could get to my Facebook page, which I don't think I can, I could show people, but that's the option, okay? So if you want it just to be seen by your friends, then you specify friends. If you want the public to see it, which is people that are people that are not friends, then you put public. And which is generally what I put when I post an update on our Facebook page about what we did on the show. I put it there for the public,
Yeah, but then any douchebag can make a comment.
I don't think so. I'm not sure that that's true. But one thing I do know, that when I'm on Facebook and I'm making comments, I know exactly what it is I'm saying. I assume that it's going to be seen by a lot of people. I don't say a lot of stupid stuff. I mean, I may say stupid stuff in the minds of some people. But as far as I'm concerned, it's acceptable enough whereby I'm not threatening the president or calling anybody a monkey or any of this stuff. Well, hold on, man. I'm trying to...
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to log in here so I can show people on Phil TV at least what this Facebook feed looks like, because they've changed it. They've changed it, and they've changed it into something that's a lot more, you know what, I don't really want to mess with it, I can do it when we get back, but they've changed it into something that's a lot more involved, okay? Point being, I don't care if they changed it into something more involved, I don't care if they kept it the same, I don't care if it was a Christmas tree or if it looked like a rabbit patch or something, you can't be so dopey as to say stuff like this. Now, this guy said the Secret Service came to his house on Monday and searched his car and residence. They also interviewed him and his family members. Boy, nice going, man. You embarrass your family? You have your home searched? Because you got a big stupid mouth on you. He called the John and Ken show on KFI on Tuesday to defend himself. I have no connection with any radical group, he said. I never intended to harm anyone in the world, and now I'm world famous and world hated. You should see the comments on my Facebook page. Oh, my goodness. Hey, pal, look what you wrote, man. You got to learn to count to 10 before you start posting things, one of the hosts responded. Manson quipped back, I have to count to more like 1,000 because I was enraged for a few hours. Well, Jack. Manson ran for Carson City Council in March as a libertarian. He finished last out of the five candidates running for the two available seats. During his campaign, he attacked what he called the city's fascist policies. Fascist policy, and then you're talking like a fascist.
Why? Why are you talking like a fascist?
I don't know, man. I was thinking more in terms of Nazis. You know, they have that, they got a hang up with people of in the inferior race. I realize that fascist is not, okay. I'm not going to explain it, no, bud. All right, we'll be right back. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here at our News and Information Hour on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth we have, is our bitch. The
Winter
Phil
Solstice.
Henry Show.
More druids. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here. Our News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard.
I've seen on your Facebook page that one guy post something.
Yeah, he says hi in real time. Samuel Sullivan posted in real time on our Facebook feed, which we had here on Phil TV. We have it up. And I suppose, okay, Samuel, you don't have to go nuts with your comments now. Samuel's just going ape. He says, yes.
Yeah, but it's pretty exciting.
Okay. Yes, it is. Thanks, Samuel. Now, to show people what I'm talking about, you know, this jackass from Carson, who Dan just pointed out in the break, which is very true, this jackball, not only does he say what he says about Obama and his children and threatens the life of the President of the United States, he then goes on to John and Ken show on Tuesday and talks about it some more. And I got news for you, Jules. Dude, nobody tells me that they're just, oh, well, you know, I didn't intend that. You know, anybody that has those kinds of thoughts and those feelings, anybody that uses the N-word, you're nothing but some, you're just flatland trash, Jack. Just flatland trash. So don't worry about it.
What's flatland?
Anything that ate the San Gabriel Valley or the San Fernando Valley, just the flatlands down there, Carson. You know, and I don't mean anything against Carson, but it is flatland.
Yeah, it is pretty flatland.
Right. All right, so when you go on Facebook, you can make these posts. Now, you know, you can see here where this is a little tab that I was going to show you. You say, do you want it to be public? Or here's like, Phil shared a link. Public. Or I can make it friends, only me, custom. Whatever you make it, that's what people are going to see. And perhaps this jackass made it public. I don't know what he did with it. But it's quite obvious to me that he's a jackball and should never be allowed to foul the air of other humans again. Okay. One other piece of news here that was, and then we'll move on to, because I've got the story that was at least part the inspiration of having Dean Wheeler on the show tonight. Winter solstice, the cold weather celebration is hot again. Now, this is a gas because they've got pictures of some druids here, and I don't know if they're druids, but the one guy's got a robe and the whole thing, and it looks like it's England, because doesn't that look like Stonehenge?
Yeah, and it looks like those big rocks they use, what the witches use.
Yeah, it's called Stonehenge.
What?
Stonehenge, man.
Yeah, like in Spinal Tap.
Right, like in Spinal Tap, when the dwarves trot on the... Winter solstice is a busy time of year for a Wiccan priestess, especially now when solstice traditions... Oh, you know what? I got a... God, the freaking thing didn't print right. When the traditions call for it, I need to get this story, which is not printed properly. The winter solstice, which represents, traditionally it represents the longest day of the year, excuse me, the shortest day of the year, I beg your pardon, the shortest day of the year, has been, in recent days, and I say recent days, maybe within the last, 100 years or so, has been viewed as a particularly spiritual time for Wiccans. Now, Wiccans are, or Druids, or whatever the hell you want to call them, pagans, these are people who celebrate that pre-Christian religion. Before there was Christianity, what did people worship? They worshipped whatever the hell it was that they worshipped. You know, they worshipped...
They worshipped, like, the demons and stuff.
Well, now, they didn't worship demons. They worshipped, you know... wacky stuff, man. You know?
What do you mean?
I don't know. The sun, the moon, the stars, jazz like that. Let me see, man. The winter solstice is the time when the arrival of the sun... I've got two stories here. Well, this isn't even about Wicca. It's just about the winter solstice. Today is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. The time of the actual astronomical event was 10:30 p.m. Wednesday. The solstice is caused by the Earth's tilt on its axis and its motion in orbit around the sun. The word solstice comes from the Latin, which means sol, blah, 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 blah. The solstice marks the beginning of winter. Ironically, it also signals the return of the light that's been dwindling since the summer solstice in June. And that's the longest day of the year. The light dwindles down to the shortest day of the year. But the good news is, now the days are going to get longer.
In other words, they ain't going to be shorter anymore.
Exactly. They're not going to be as short as they were. That's the winter solstice. But the story that I was looking for, and I apologize, folks, that I'm hemming and hawing here, I was looking for the story on the Druids, and I completely lost it because, This was a story that had to do with the religion, but now all I got here are stories about the... God, that bothers me. Winter solstice ushers in the dark. Winter solstice sans weather. Winter solstice... Now, this cold weather celebration is hot again. I thought I could find this. Oh, here it is. Finally, thank God. Our printer is just not making it. The winter solstice is a busy time of year for a Wiccan priestess, especially now when solstice traditions, observed even in ancient times, are hot once more. Of course they are observed in ancient times. That's what they observed in ancient times. People are celebrating the solstice more than ever in recent memory, said Selena Fox, who isn't just any Wiccan priestess. She's a psychotherapist and the founder of Wisconsin's Circle Sanctuary, a nonprofit Wiccan church, and according to its website, a 200-acre nature preserve.
What are you doing over there?
What do you mean?
Probably run around naked.
Yeah, isn't that what they do?
I don't know what they do.
But you got a nature preserve, you're Wiccan. You probably run around naked and celebrate, you know, all being nude and everything. That's what they do.
Well, what do you mean celebrate being nude? What does that mean?
Well, they...
No, I'm asking Robert. What does that mean?
I mean, if you're Wiccan, then you believe in, like...
You believe in the earth.
Yeah, you believe in the earth. And you gotta be nude. You have no alternative.
You got no alternative but to be nude if you celebrate the earth, if you're Wiccan. Okay, thank you.
Well, you're making me sound stupid, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. All I know is it says they got a 200-acre preserve, a nature preserve.
That's where they go nude.
Why do you guys have this thing about nude? Just because they're Wiccan? Why?
Because they have sex, and that's what they do to celebrate.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Boy, you two guys together, man, you're a regular college bull.
Whatever.
Yeah. The solstice occurs twice a year when the sun's position in the sky is yada, yada, yada. Solstice is widely celebrated today by Wiccas, Druids, heathens, and other heathens. Is there such a thing?
Yeah, probably.
What is that, a subset of... It sounds like we're back in Middle Earth here. We got Druids, we got your Wiccans, we got heathens and other pagans by indigenous peoples practicing traditional ways in Africa, Asia, Polynesia, Australia, Europe, and the Americas, by environmentalists and astronomers, by secular humanists and free thinkers, by eco-Christians and those of other religions and philosophies. Fox, who is this psychotherapist, how'd you like to go to a psychotherapist and find out she's like a Wiccan or something?
Yeah, that I don't know.
You know, that would kind of, I don't know, that she would probably... Now, I'd like you to know that, welcome, I'm Dr. Fidget, and I'm here to figure out what's wrong with your marriage, Phil. I understand that you have neurosis, and you're trying to quit smoking.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I need to tell you that I'm a Wiccan.
Okay.
So, you just, you know, occasionally during our sessions, I'll have to light some incense, or...
Is it part of the religion?
No, I might fart. So,
all right, grow up.
Humankind has been observing solstice for thousands of years, says Fox. Yeah, I get it about the solstice. I wanted to know more about you nuts. When it comes to winter solstice celebrations, we're talking old. Even thousands of years ago, Fox said, there was an awareness among humans about the rhythms of nature and the cyclic nature of these rhythms to the point that these amazing sites were constructed. Such sites include Stonehenge in Britain, as well as the New Grange in Ireland, and the Old Grange and LaGrange, which ZZ Top had visited.
Really?
No, not really. It's believed that primary axes of Stonehenge are aligned on sight lines pointing to the winter solstice sunset. For New Grange, it's sunrise. Okay. So there you have it.
It's a bunch of astronomy.
Pretty much a bunch of astronomy, but their religion was, in those days, because people didn't really get it, you know, it was around, it was, religion was about nature. And I shouldn't say that because people didn't get it. I mean, you know, today, I'm sure people have the same sense that, you know, nature is somehow a very spiritual or religious thing.
What do you think?
I don't know, man. I to me, nature is cool. I dig it. You know, if it was another time and another place and another life, and I was sitting on the edge of a cliff and it was the stars and I was, you know, a whole different other person smoking a big fat blunt, maybe, just maybe, you know.
You get religion.
I'd get religion, yeah. All right, we'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. China is blasting Christian Bale because he visited an activist while he was in China, and the Chinese think that that was rude and jacked up and all kinds of stuff. Plus, an accountant has quit on an heiress's estate. Apparently, he underpaid her taxes by tens of millions of dollars. This is an interesting story. And Floyd Mayweather gets 90 days in jail for domestic violence and harassment. Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I think that's an interesting question. We were just talking during a break. Where is their full service gas? We got onto the whole idea of full service gas and just the whole idea of pumping your own gas, the way that the laws are different from state to state, you know?
Yeah, well, Dave, you said they make you pump your own gas in Oregon?
They make you pump your own gas in Oregon, exactly. And, you said where everybody else, like California, you can't find a place where they'll pump. I can't. And not that I'm looking for it. I've stopped looking for it. I don't know if I've looked for a full service gas station in years, man. I mean, it's got to be 20 years since I thought I would, you know, regularly look for a full service gas station. But I don't know where they are. And I wonder if they still exist. You been to one, Robert?
No, I ain't seen one, man. Everywhere you got to go, you got to pump your own gas.
Yeah, they don't even have no mechanics.
They don't have mechanics. Oh, forget it. I mean, they do. The odd station still exists where there's a mechanic. There's still the neighborhood mechanics. I've seen them. But more and more stations, especially especially if they are at the at a major crossroad where the company, the franchisor, such as Standard or Mobil or Union 76 or whoever, Esso, I don't know.
What's Esso?
That's like BP. There are different companies for around the country, different places. They will say, well, we're not making any money with a mechanic. We need to put in a store, you know.
Yeah, well, mostly what you want to get, a donut. I don't, I mean, like 2 o'clock in the morning, I want to get gas, I want to get a donut.
Yeah, either get a donut or you probably want to get a chips and some squeeze cheese or something like that.
You got to be kidding me, man. I wouldn't eat that. I wouldn't eat that with your mouth.
Are you high? You're high at a mixture of chemicals. Squeeze cheese is the best.
Squeeze cheese. Get out of here. I wouldn't eat that, man. I agree with Robert. I wouldn't eat it with your mouth.
What?
That stuff, that cheese you pump, get out of here. You're telling me you're going to go into those places, man. I'll tell you what I'm going to buy. It's something that's packaged. I ain't buying any hot dogs.
Why not?
I'm just not doing it, man. I'm just not doing it. Okay? If I want to get some food, hot food, I draw the line at the gas station. Excuse me.
Well, what do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? I draw the line. If I want hot food, if I want a hot sandwich, if I want a hamburger, you know, like that kind of thing, I'll go to a hamburger joint, man. I ain't going to the Mobil snack shop. Thank you very much.
You know, you think that food is going to give you the runs?
You probably think it'll give you the squirts.
Well, whatever, bud. You know, the point that I'm making, though, is if I'm going to go into that joint to get something to eat, and I have, not that I eat this stuff anymore, but there was a time when I'd go and get potato chips.
What about beer?
I don't know, man. Do they even sell beer in those places?
Yeah.
They do? Because they didn't used to. They stopped selling. But they didn't want to sell booze to people in their cars. They just... And I maybe I'm thinking of a different state now. Excuse me for coughing, folks. I have this... it's like an allergy or something. But I ain't going to do that. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that most gas stations now are... I would dare say the majority of them now are gas and food. Gas and food. Gas and food. Forget it. What, do you want a mechanic? You either got to go find your own mechanic. You got to go back to the dealer to get it fixed. You may find a local neighborhood mechanic that you've known for many, many years. Back, you know, when I was growing up, it was the guy at the gas station. You took your car down to a reliable guy you knew at the gas station. He would fix it for you. He'd get the parts in. He'd do this. He'd do that. Then you started taking it to the dealer. It ain't happening that way anymore. You know, and then as far as the full serve thing goes.
Well, what do you mean by full serve?
You don't know what full serve is.
No, you don't know. He's too young.
Full serve? Are you kidding, bud?
Uh-uh.
Full serve is when you would pull into a gas station and a guy would come out and he'd say, yes, sir, what would you like? I'd like you to fill up the gas tank, check the oil. You know, you'd have him actually do a fluid check on the engine. You would.
You're kidding me.
No, man, that they used to do that kind of thing, see? But now they don't do it anymore because people don't want to waste that kind of time. And it costs money to keep a guy on to do that. You'd rather have them either, you know, as a mechanic or not. So they decided to you know, opt out of that kind of thing. And then they'd have them just working straight through as a mechanic. Now, of course, you can go into some of those joints. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. That mechanic... Some of these guys work all night, by the way, the mechanics.
Yeah, I've seen one guy on Westlake Boulevard does that.
Yeah, they got that Mobil station. That guy is a mechanic. He's working all night. But if you go in there and you go to get, like, I don't know, a candy bar or, you know, back when I smoked, we got a pack of cigarettes, that guy would come out of the lube bay and he'd be working the shop.
Then why don't they have that guy do the gas?
Because they don't want to, man. They don't want to. You know, it's not secure. There's a lot of different things that's the reason why they don't do that. All right, so yeah, that was full service. It cost more. They don't do it anymore. Not around here, anyway. All right, so here's the story I was going to tell you. There's an accountant facing questions about his handling of the fortune of a reclusive copper mining heiress. Now, dig this. He has resigned from administering her estate as a New York City official said the accountant and a lawyer underpaid her taxes by tens of millions of dollars. Now, the accountant is named Irving Kamsler. And he resigned on Tuesday as an executor of the heiress Huguette Clark.
What?
Or how do you pronounce that?
Hugowit. Let me see. Hugowit.
Well, obviously you guys don't know and you're screwing around. How do you pronounce that?
I don't know.
H-U-G-U-E-T-T-E. What kind of wild thing?
There's a lot of black women that's named stuff just as weird, so don't make a big deal out of it.
What are you talking about, man? That Bahuget? I don't know one sister named Hugowit.
Yeah, but there's one named Sizzaline.
Shut up! All right! I mean Sizzaline. Hugowit. H-U-G-U-E-T-T. I don't know, maybe her parents were some rich... I was going to say Krauts. German. No, you know. Anyway, Hugowit Clark... She's got a $400 million estate. Lawyers for the estate said in a letter, it also noted that the official was about to ask a court to strip Mr. Kamsler and the lawyer, Wallace Bach, from managing the estate. Mr. Kamsler and Mr. Bach, who were paid thousands of dollars a month for responsibilities that included dealing with Ms. Clark's taxes, had let $90 million in unpaid federal gift taxes and penalties accrue by early this year, according to a probate court filing on Tuesday. The administrator believes, I love this story, it's in the New York Times. You know, these are the things that happen. This is like the old money, man, in New York. I love it. You know, this is not the nouveau riche of Hollywood or the West Coast. Some jackball had made his money in real estate. Some guy that got all of his bread together in a media company. This is copper mining money, baby. This is old money. You know.
What like going way back, huh?
Oh, yeah, man, sure. I saw a thing on TV the other day. It was really interesting. It was the DuPonts. You know what that is?
Yeah, they make a paint.
They do a lot of stuff, man. They make paint. They make chemicals. Oh, baby. The DuPont family goes all the way back to the turn of the 19th century, 1803. The very first DuPont guy was some guy. I don't know what the hell his name was. Let's just call him Joe Blow DuPont, okay?
What's his name?
I'm just saying. I'm making one up. Joe Blow DuPont.
I'll look it up.
Don't look up Joe Blow. I said I'm making it up.
Oh.
God. Anyway, this guy made his initial offer. He made his initial money like a lot of these guys made their initial money. Like old man Astor. You know the Astors? You know, you've heard that name, right?
Yeah, New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, Lady Astor, all that crap. Well, the original Astor, a guy who was a German immigrant, I think, he made his money, and so did DuPont, on furs, on bear skins, animal skins. These guys would go to the Northwest, and they would make deals with trappers, and you name it, man. These guys would go up into the wild and shoot bear, come back with thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of very, very valuable animal skins that got shipped back east and were made into God knows what, you know, ladies' furs, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they turned a lot of money in, you know, thousands of dollars worth of this of these animal furs into millions of dollars. Well, DuPont made so much money that today his heirs, I mean, you can imagine how much money a guy makes that it feeds generation after generation after generation of family members. And they were talking about that John DuPont. You guys don't remember the story. This guy was a freaking mental case that went nuts. He shot some wrestling coach.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. And he was living with his mother. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. And they're a little, you know, one of them, this guy anyway, was kooky. But it's all this old bread. And the DuPonts are Easterners. They're Pennsylvanians. They're not New Yorkers. Astor, the guy that made the money, Jacob Astor and Lady Astor and all of these Astors, he made his money on furs. And then he did one of the smartest things, well, that you could possibly do. He bought up Bowery Real Estate. Now, this is back before the Bowery was anything like it became. Today, you know, and in succeeding years, became a huge commercial real estate area. So Astor bought this land up, began to sublease these plots, and made a fortune. And then, of course, the family continued to make this money. All that old money back east, man, it goes back hundreds of years. Now you have this lady named Hugowit, or whatever the hell.
Hugowit.
Exactly. And she's got copper mining bread.
What you doing in New York making copper mining?
Well, just because she's got copper mining bread doesn't mean she's got to live in Denver, man. Maybe she likes to live in New York, you know. Anyway, the administrator believes this wrongful conduct, now this is an accountant and a lawyer that were underpaying this woman's taxes and essentially getting her into hot water with the federals. He believes this wrongful conduct is just the tip of the iceberg, the administrator's lawyer, David R. Gelfand and Peter Schramm, wrote. Mr. Kamsler and Mr. Bach deny any wrongdoing in their dealings with Ms. Clark. Their entire decades-long handling of her affairs was an ongoing effort to protect and preserve her chosen lifestyle, and on her explicit instructions, said John Dedakis, a lawyer representing them. The public administrator's accusations add to a swirl of uncertainty surrounding the life and estate of Ms. Clark, a senator's daughter who owned the largest residence on Fifth Avenue and mansions in California and Connecticut, but chose to live for decades in hospitals. What?
Yeah.
She was 104 when she died in May. Whoa.
Man, that's way out there. She lived in a hospital.
She chose to live in hospitals. She was 104. What's so weird about that? If I was 104, I'd choose to live in a hospital, too.
Why?
Because, dude, if I'm 104, I don't know, if I fall down, man, if anybody's going to find me, you know? Might as well live in a hospital. Wow, that's... I'm going to have to look up who get the clerk. She was a senator's daughter, huh? And she owned the largest residence on Fifth Avenue and mansions in California, Connecticut. All right, we'll be right back with the answers to these and many other questions, and maybe not. Maybe we'll answer some questions, maybe we won't. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour with Bud and Robert. Don't forget, after the show, check our website for our show log. It tells you everything you missed or everything that you endured on philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We actually on the, what are we on here, bud?
Called the Business Insider. Got a picture of her house and everything.
There's a picture here on Phil TV and HD of the 104-year-old Huger. We're figuring that's her name.
Yeah, well, you don't know that. That's what Dan said.
Sounds good to me, though. 104-year-old reclusive heiress Huger Clark leaves behind an amazing real estate portfolio. Here's a picture of her superimposed over her Santa Barbara mansion, which is quite an impressive mansion. You can't really tell too much of it. Click here to see the real estate she left behind. Now, here's a woman, folks, who was 104. She became reclusive after 1930. So, in other words, she was born in 1906. That means at the age of 24... she essentially became a recluse. According to her biography, she was married just once for 2 years between 1928 and 1930. If this lady lived in some run-down, like, raccoon-infested toilet, I'd think this was Grey Gardens all over again.
What's that?
Those are those two really whacked-out ladies they made that documentary about. If you want to do yourself a favor and you want to see this movie, great. Don't see the Jessica Lange. And I'm not saying that Jessica Lange and Drew Barrymore aren't great actresses. They're phenomenal. They're fantastic. I love both of them. But you can't ask them to beat out the documentary. The documentary is gold. I mean, why look at a theatrical rendition when you can actually see the two of them? I mean, it was goofy, you know?
Like, what'd they do?
You never saw this?
Oh.
Oh, my God. These two women, I don't know their names, I don't want to get into a whole thing, and I'm not comparing this Huger Clark to them. Here's an aerial view of her. What the hell is this?
I think that's Santa Barbara there. Got 12,000 square feet.
Okay. What do you got to yell everything for, bud?
Just so you know.
All right, you're like standing right next to me. Anyway, these two gals. There's the Santa Barbara. Boy, she's got some nice pads, man. All right. So these two women are living in a house that was originally owned by the father and the mother. Well, the father deserted. Now who's living in the house? The mother and the daughter. Both of these women related to the Jacqueline Bouvier side of the family, the first lady who was married to John Kennedy, Jackie Kennedy. They were relatives of hers. The house gradually became run down. The house began to fall apart. But neither one of these women really cared. The handyman that they had working for them, he passed on sometime in the 60s, and they never did hire a new one. So by the time the two filmmakers found these two women, and by the way, they were the two guys that made Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stone. What was the name of those guys? The Mays Brothers?
Yeah, I got to look that up. I think you're right.
These two brothers that made Gimme Shelter, the Altamont, the Rolling Stone Altamont concert where the Hell's Angels, there was this controversy about the Hell's Angels being there. These guys find these two women. They make a movie called Grey Gardens. And in this film, you see them living in what is now a very run-down, dilapidated mansion. There are raccoons living in the walls that they feed.
Are you kidding me, man?
I'm not kidding you. No, they're feeding raccoons. Everything is overgrown. And both women are, you want to say they're crazy, but they're not. Because after the mother died, the younger woman, who is at this point in the movie, is in her late 40s, maybe early 50s, she moved to Bell Harbor, Florida. I think she first moved to New York, then to Bell Harbor, Florida, and wasn't crazy at all. She lived a life, and they're these very eccentric women. And in this movie, they're playing martial music, and they're marching around the house with batons. They're serving their friends who come for a birthday celebration, and their friends are shocked at the, you know, the kitchen where they're sitting them down to eat. They're drinking wine out of a screw cap bottle. The whole thing is nuts. So anyway, make a long story short, when the movie comes out, Jacqueline Kennedy, who by this time is married to Aristotle Onassis, it's the mid-70s, she sees it, and she pays to have the house fixed up and have the garbage hauled away. It apparently cost $40,000 to haul the garbage out of this house.
Well, I mean, why do you say they're not nuts?
I base that on one thing and one thing only. If they were nuts, I don't know about the mother, she died. But when the mother died, the younger woman, and I wish I remember their names, she moved on her own to New York City, where she, I believe, had some kind of a career in a nightclub, and then moved to Bell Harbor, Florida, where she stayed for the remainder of her life. This is a woman that lived on her own. This is a woman that negotiated and navigated life very well, lived in nice residences, had money, and did not, you know, didn't need any taking care of or looking after, wasn't involved in any violation of the law, wasn't harming herself or others. She wasn't crazy. She's just eccentric.
Yeah, but you got to be crazy, man. You're living around a raccoon.
Well, you know something, man? I don't know if you're crazy or you just are like, oh, whatever. You know, they're raccoons and this is how I choose to live. But the thing that was really way out there about this, the younger woman, is she wore this thing over her head all the time. It looked like an old-fashioned bathing cap, but it's just this tight piece of fabric across her head.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I was wondering, did she suffer from some sort of hair loss? I don't know. But anyway, they made a movie out of those two women that starred Jessica Lange as the older woman and Drew Barrymore as the younger one. And like I said, they're fine actresses. There's no question. But I think that's an impossible job that they were given. Why would you want to go see that movie when you have the documentary? You got to get the documentary. It's called Grey Gardens. It was made by those two brothers. I don't know what their name is. Who made...
They did the one about the Hells Angels at Altamont.
Yeah, they did the Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stones concert at Altamont. All right. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. All right, we're all done with looking at the mansions here. God, man, I forgot we had that thing there. PhilHendryShow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Don't forget to hit the shop. I know that it's too late to get it mailed in time for Christmas, but hey, you know, I mean, you can probably get something out to them a little bit afterwards. So, till tonight, we'll see you guys later. Have a very, very good day. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Some great news to report in the coming months, coming days, as a matter of fact, so stay tuned.
Phil Hendry.